This is Audible.
Recorded Books and RB Digital present Mulberry Moon, a Mystic Creek novel by Katherine Anderson, narrated by Kate Turnbull. Chapter 13. Once they were in the apartment above the cafe, Sissy felt all the earlier tension of the evening fall away and her muscles relaxed. They had committed a crime, but they'd made a clean getaway, and even better, the kitten could now look forward to a long and happy life. She couldn't help but smile as she crouched to set the little guy gently on her kitchen floor. Admiring the gray ball of fur, Sissy noticed two white patches on the kitten's left hip. "Oh, Ben, look! He's not solid gray. He has two spots of white." Ben stepped around to look. "His whiskers are white, too." Sissy's grin broadened. "He makes me think of a kid whose mom sewed patches on his jeans. Wouldn't that be a darling name? Patches, I mean." Ben crouched beside her, his mouth also tipped in a smile. "It's cute, for sure, and it suits him." The kitten decided to check out his new home and hobbled over to sniff a cupboard door. "Just look at him walk!" Sissy cried. "He's a tiny miracle!"
"He sure is," Ben agreed.
When the kitten sniffed a second cupboard, an awful thought occurred to Sissy. "Oh my God! I'll have to roust Marilyn out of bed. I have no cat food, no litter box, and no litter to go in one. Flags Market is closed by now."
"After I agreed to help you break him out of jail, I went shopping," Ben said. "I knew you wouldn't have time. I've got everything he'll need in the back of my truck. I'll run out and get everything."
While Ben was gone, Sissy remained hunkered down to watch Patches explore the kitchen. The thought that he would have been dead in the morning if not for her and Ben brought tears to her eyes. Ben, he was such a rare gem. How many guys would risk going to jail in order to save a kitten's life? Not many, she decided. And that decision was quickly followed by another one. It was time for her to stop holding Ben at arm's length and take another huge risk. He was a wonderful man, truly one of a kind, and she was going to lose him if she didn't let him know that she'd come to care about him. She jerked with a start when Ben pushed back inside. His arms were laden with two bags, one of dry kitten kibble and the other of litter, plus a cat box filled with items she couldn't identify without standing up. She watched as he began unloading purchases onto her countertop. She saw ceramic dishes with paw prints. Two toys appeared, one a gray mouse and the other a clutch of feathers attached to what resembled a miniature fishing pole. Then Ben set out a box of rice pabulum and some small jars of pureed meat. "What's the baby food for?"
"My mom starts kittens with pabulum mixed with pureed meat, powdered milk, and warm water. They love it, and according to her, it's healthful for them. I didn't get powdered milk. I figured you'd probably have some."
"I do," Sissy pushed erect. As they worked, mixing a small amount of starter food for Patches in one bowl and filling the other bowl with fresh water, Sissy felt tears welling in her eyes again. "What's wrong with me?" Then she thought, "What a dumb question. This man is one of the most wonderful people I've ever known." After Patches ate, Sissy made him a bed in the corner of her living room and put his filled litter box nearby so he wouldn't have to walk far when he needed to relieve himself. She gently settled him on his blanket. He immediately tucked himself into a little ball and fell asleep. She gazed down at him for a long moment, unable to stop smiling. "This is the best present anyone ever gave me," she told Ben.
"Don't thank me. You're the one who decided to break into the clinic. I was just your backup."
Sissy hugged her waist, unable to resist glancing at Snickers, who sat up in his cage watching her. He needed to go. If he had a disease, Patches might catch it.
"Well."
Ben shrugged and pushed at the brim of his hat.
"It's super late. I'd better head home. Someone may spot my truck in your yard, and Finn will be in a dither. I normally take him everywhere. I decided he might not be a very good partner in crime, though. Can you imagine how excited he would have gotten with all those dogs and cats sounding off?
Pretty excited. Sissy followed him to the door. I'll walk you down so I can lock up.
Good plan.
He descended the stairs two at a time. Sissy's legs weren't long enough to manage that unless she jumped. At the back door, she gazed up at him. A tender, shadowy look clouded his eyes. She knew he wanted to kiss her. Recalling her wonderful dream of being held in his strong arms, she was sorely tempted to encourage him. Only nervousness made her hesitate. I'll never forget tonight. He chuckled.
Like I said, you're bringing out my wild side.
I'll never regret rescuing him. He's so precious. Her throat tightened. You're the best, Ben.
You're not bad yourself.
As he stepped out onto the porch, he said,
Try to get to bed at a halfway decent hour.
I'll do that. After the door closed behind him, Sissy listened to his receding footsteps. First the click of his studded boot heels on wood, and then the softer thud of leather soles on packed dirt. She sighed and walked back into the cafe. After turning out all the lights, she went upstairs. When she entered her apartment, Snickers perched on his hindquarters to look at her with bright, beady eyes, filled with interest and expectation. As Sissy approached his cage, she said, It's time to set you free, little guy. She opened the side door, cupped him in her hands, and held him to her cheek for what might be the last time. Then she lowered the rodent to the floor. Goodbye, little guy. I'll come visit you if Ben can find your nest. Snicker scampered to the edge of her kitchen linoleum, then stopped and sat up to look at her with what she could have sworn was a happy grin. Then he let loose with a chirp and raced away, stopping only to check her coffee table to see if the candy bowl had reappeared. When he found nothing, he ran into the bathroom and vanished. Sissy released a taut breath and turned to scrub her hands and face with antibacterial soap. Then she walked through the flat, spraying all surfaces with disinfectant. Sissy caught movement from the corner of her eye. Patches had awakened from his nap and was batting his toy mouse around on her carpet with his front stubs. Smiling, she sat cross-legged on the rug to watch him play. She wondered if the mouse was the kitten's first toy. He seemed to take it all very seriously, acting as if the stuffed gray felt might run away or turn on him. Sissy couldn't help but laugh at his antics. Patches tired quickly. When Sissy noted a decrease in his enthusiasm, she picked him up and cuddled him close.
Hey, little guy. I'm your new mom. Do you know that yet?
She sat on the sofa, got comfortable, and lightly stroked the kitten's fur until he began to purr, his body vibrating against her breast. Sissy felt as if her bones were melting. She settled back, closed her eyes, and listened to the sounds he made, which were fairly loud. Earlier, Sissy had tried to thank Ben for the kitten, and he'd waved aside her gratitude. She doubted that he fully understood how much she'd needed this kitten to love. Finally, Patches fell so deeply asleep that his purring stopped. Ben. Sissy drew her cell phone from her pocket and dialed his number. It's time, she thought. She had to tell him how she felt or risk losing him, and she couldn't imagine not having Ben in her life.
Hey, you, he answered. How are you handling your first night of motherhood?
Sissy laughed, which startled Patches awake. He immediately started to purr again. It's gone well. She fell quiet. I just wanted to call and thank you again. You'll never know how much having the kitten means to me. I set Snickers free right after you left.
Uh-oh. I know that must have been a bitch.
Sissy saw no point in sugarcoating the truth. It was. But then Patches woke up and started playing with his mouse. He was so cute. Watching him play helped me stop feeling sad about Snickers. and it isn't as if I'll never see him again.
Nope,
Ben agreed. He hesitated.
Is that the kitten purring? Dear God, he sounds like a John Deere tractor.
Sissy grinned.
Pretty impressive. Tiny kitten, huge motor.
She cupped her hand over the feline's soft warmth. I'm so thankful to have him. I can give him a good life, and he'll fill mine with joy for years to come. If it weren't for you, I might have chickened out. I'd be here all alone. I'm tired of being alone.
I know what you mean. I traveled so much that I never realized how completely alone I was until I gave it up and came home. Boy, howdy, did it ever hit me then. My house is big. It was only me wandering from room to room. Sometimes I'd actually talk to myself, and I swear my voice bounced off the walls. Now I talk to my dog.
It was so like Ben not to try to capitalize on how mushy she was feeling. Instead, he was sharing his experiences with loneliness. That meant the world to her. Is that what convinced you to get a puppy? The loneliness?
Yes. I was so lonely at night, I was tempted to move back in with my parents.
Sissy burst out laughing.
Honestly? Well, feeling tempted and actually doing it are two different things. I love my parents, but my mom is a nurturer, and though I enjoy being fussed over when I visit, I don't think I could handle it full time. And my dad, well, he's the salt of the earth, but he doesn't always approve of my lifestyle.
Sissy's smile deepened. Though she didn't have a social life, she understood that other young people did. A man as handsome as Ben didn't take a beautiful woman out on a date and then kiss her goodnight on the doorstep. Her smile vanished, and an awful clenching sensation attacked her stomach. The thought of Ben in some other woman's arms made her feel nauseated. Her only consolation was that he'd been at her place so much lately that he probably hadn't dated anyone for a while.
So, rather than do something totally crazy, like live with my parents, I got a dog. I'm still a little lonely sometimes, but mostly not. Finn is great company. I don't know how you've lived alone without a pet for as long as you have.
Sissy stroked Patches's fur. Me neither.
And then, before she could reason her way through it, she blurted,
You probably date a lot of women.
Silence. It lasted so long she was going to ask if he was still there when he finally said, I did.
Past tense. Sissy couldn't help but focus on that. What made you stop?
I found you.
Sissy felt her larynx bob up and down. Her throat knotted as tight as a beggar's fist around a quarter. Me? She whispered. She heard Ben cough.
I told you how I feel this morning. I know you've given me no signals to hope for anything in return, and trust me, I've even lectured myself about acting like a fool. But for the first time in my life, my brain has gone on vacation, and I'm leading with my heart.
Oh, Ben.
I know, you're not ready. Maybe you'll never be, if that's how it turns out.
Sissy cut him off. Ben, I'm in love with you.
What?
You heard me.
With me? You're in love with me?
She smiled at the incredulity in his voice. Why do you find that so hard to believe? You're a wonderful person. Honest, trustworthy, caring. How could I not fall in love with you? He cleared his throat.
Hold on. Shit. I'm not all that honest, Sissy. I've lied to you a few times.
Her eyebrows shot up. About what?
For starters, about the coop and run. I got a few supplies at Restore, but most of it I bought new because Restore was low on inventory. I could afford it, and I knew you couldn't.
You played me. Her mouth curved in another smile. Shame on you. Then, uh-oh. Exactly how many free meals do I owe you now? He chuckled.
I don't know. I threw away the receipts. You're not mad?
Sissy took a bracing breath. You're not the only one who's lied, Ben. Everything about me is pretty much a lie.
What do you mean?
I need to tell you about it. Need to tell you everything, but it's a long story, and it won't be easy for me to get it out. Tonight probably isn't the best time if we hope to get any sleep.
Probably not,
he conceded.
And nothing you tell me is going to change how I feel about you anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yes, Sissy pushed out. It does matter. I can't move forward with you until you know everything about me. She sighed. I'll warn you now that I'm going to have to gather my courage before I can talk about it. For me, it'll be like standing naked on the courthouse steps.
No rush, he assured her. I'm not going anywhere.
Promise?
Yes. It's enough for me right now just to know you have feelings for me.
I like knowing that you have feelings for me, too, she said.
So how about if we end this conversation with those three words? I need to hear you say them again.
I love you, Ben.
I love you, too.
She waited for him to hang up because she didn't want to do it first. He finally started to laugh. Oh, how she loved the sound of his laughter.
Okay, this isn't going well, he said. How about if we hang up on the count of three?
Or we could talk a bit longer.
Better idea,
he agreed. She got up and carefully put Patches back on his bed. I had a dream about you kissing me.
Ah, shit. Was I awful?
She giggled. In her wildest imagining, she couldn't picture Ben being bad at kissing a woman.
No, wait, let me guess. We bumped noses. Our teeth got stuck. I stepped on your foot while I was kissing you?
No, it was a lovely dream. I'm just, well, nervous about me being the one who's awful at it.
Well, that isn't going to happen. You have the most kissable mouth I've ever seen.
I do? Sissy heard the thin edge in her voice and wanted to punch herself in the shoulder.
Oh, yeah. And please don't tell me a dozen other guys haven't told you that.
Sissy bit back a grin and then wondered why she bothered. He couldn't see her. Okay, I won't.
Good. I hate false humility.
Sissy figured he'd hate hearing the truth even more.
So, here's how we'll handle tomorrow, he went on. I'll show up. We'll see how things roll. And just so you won't get all nervous, I won't kiss you unless you ask me to. Deal?
Sissy wasn't sure she'd ever find the courage to ask him to kiss her. But she said, okay, deal. Sissy crawled into bed, exhausted from a long day of work and an exhilarating evening of crime, with Patches tucked under her chin and part of her pillow providing him with a bed nearly as soft as a cloud. As she fell asleep, what remained of her conscious thought centered on how utterly at peace she felt. Finally, she had someone who was really hers, a kitten who needed her as much as she needed him, and a wonderful man who said he loved her. Best of all, she'd found the courage to tell Ben she had feelings for him, feelings that went deeper than friendship. And he'd understood her hesitation, if not the reasons behind it. She felt like one of the luckiest women in the world. Her alarm clock clamored at 5 a.m, jerking her from the soundest sleep she'd enjoyed for a long while. Patches awakened more slowly, blinking and yawning as he sat up. Sissy grinned and picked him up as she swung her legs over the side of the bed.
You are so stinkin' cute, she told him, but not so cute that I want you to pee in my bed.
Barefoot and wearing only a t-shirt that nearly reached her knees, Sissy carried the kitten to his unused litter box. She wondered if he already knew how it went, a question that was soon answered when Patches pushed aside litter with his pink stubs and squatted over the spot to pee and do number two. Afterward, he used his back feet to cover the mess.
And smart, too, Sissy cried.
The not-so-sweet smell of cat manure drifted to her nose.
Ugh!
That's going to be a new daily chore for me, cleaning your box and giving it squirts of odor eliminator. She allowed the kitten to make his way to the kitchen. Babying him too much would not help the ends of his healing legs to toughen up. He needed to walk a little. Not too much at first, because he'd been confined to a tiny cage after his surgery. She hoped to avoid raw spots or blisters, but some walking would be therapeutic. In what felt like only minutes, but was actually over an hour, Sissy had a cafe filled with customers. For reasons beyond her, the cauldron seemed to be drawing more people. That made her feel fabulous. As Sissy raced back and forth to cook and serve, she faced the inevitable. She had no choice but to hire some help. One person couldn't deal with so many customers alone. Her patrons expected three things: quick service, tasty food, and friendly conversation. Sissy was still managing to provide the first two things, but she had little time to chat even with her favorite diners. She felt a stab of regret that she couldn't sit for a moment with Christopher while he ate breakfast. And Blackie was clearly feeling glum because she hadn't stopped to hear him describe the new Oregon Ducks football helmets. When Sissy arrived at the Viard's table, Linda glanced up and smiled.
"You look absolutely radiant this morning."
"I had a fabulous evening and got a great night's sleep." Sissy wanted to chat with them, but she heard someone clanking a spoon against a coffee mug, a sure sign of impatience. "I'm so sorry. Duty calls. Maybe you can come in for lunch and it'll be slower." Linda waved her away.
"You have a business to run, we understand."
Sissy was exhausted when her last breakfast diner left, but she couldn't afford to take time for even a short break. Mountains of dirty dishes awaited her. She also needed to spend at least a few minutes upstairs with Patches. It would be unkind to leave him alone for hours on end. As she put plates into the dishwasher, Sissy heard strange noises coming from outside the back of her building. "Ben," she decided. She'd become familiar with the sounds of construction. What on earth was he doing now? When Sissy had her cooking facility tidy, she busted out her lunch prep, wiped the counters, and then dashed upstairs to fetch her kitten before going outside to see what Ben was up to.
"Hey, you,"
he said when she stepped out onto the porch.
"And you brought my step-kitten, too."
"That's dangerous. A customer might drop in and see him."
"If I hear the buzzer, I'll hide him under a light jacket to take him upstairs."
Ben crouched on the steps over countless boards and a gigantic roll of wire that he'd propped against the deck.
"What on earth are you going to build now?" Sissy asked.
"An outside kitty playground. Wire tunnels. My step-kitten needs some outdoor time, especially during our good weather months."
"Outside kitty playground?" Sissy sighed.
"What if someone sees him?"
Ben smiled.
"The heat will die down. Something else will soon have everyone's tongue wagging. We'll wait a few months before we let him outside."
He planned to install a cat door on the wall of her building, through which Patches could enter a wire tunnel that would lead to a kitty platform where he could sunbathe or crouch under a small roofed area that would protect him from the snow and rain.
"My biggest concern is how to design climbing ramps for him. He has no front claws to pull himself up. It'll take some pondering."
Sissy, who'd always prided herself on being a person who rarely cried, now found herself battling tears. Again. It was becoming a habit with her, and she didn't like it. Was he real, this man? He wasn't asking for or expecting anything from her for doing this. He was building Patches a playground out of the kindness of his heart. "Oh, Ben, no wonder I love you."
"Keep it coming, sweetheart. I love hearing you say it."
"I love you, I love you, I love you."
He stared down at the boards near his feet.
"I had a plan. Now I'll be damned if I can remember what it was."
That made two of them. She'd even forgotten what the main dish for lunch was. "I'll leave you alone so you can collect your thoughts. Sissy rose and stood a step above him. After lunch hour, when I finished dinner prep, I hope to close the cafe and spend time with Patches upstairs. He loves the toys you got him. Maybe you can find time to come up and join us. His eyes twinkled with amusement.
That's an invitation I won't turn down. Wow, our first date.
Nope, it's our second.
It is? How'd I miss the first one?
Sissy grinned. You didn't. It was our second chicken dusting day. I wore a special top and I even put on makeup. It was a date, whether you knew it or not. He moved his gaze over her face.
You sure looked pretty when I got here that morning. That touch of mascara really set off your eyes.
You noticed? The makeup, I mean.
I notice everything about you.
For Sissy, the lunch shift dragged by, every minute seeming like an hour. And then, when her customers finally dwindled away to only an occasional drop-in, she still had dinner prep to do. Blackie stopped by for his afternoon coffee and muffin. Sitting at the counter just beyond the pass-through window, he finally got a chance to describe in precise detail the new design on the Oregon Ducks football helmets. Sissy made all the appropriate noises and responses, but she was actually thinking about Ben and their date that afternoon. Blackie kept talking.
I should wear something special, she thought. Maybe just a touch of makeup, nothing too obvious.
Then she tried to imagine what she and Ben would talk about. She decided it wouldn't matter. She enjoyed all their conversations. Getting to know him, teasing him. Heck, she was starting to feel as if she was almost normal. You're not, she reminded herself. But somehow, Ben made her feel good about herself anyway. As she went up the stairs to her flat later, she could still hear Ben working. He hadn't even come in for lunch. After she had given Patches a cuddle, she was going to put on a special top. Maybe she'd even try to do something different with her hair. A little makeup was definitely on her agenda.
I notice everything about you.
Well, she wanted to look different enough that she'd be worth noticing for once. Ben stretched his tape measure along a board and marked the spot where he intended to cut. Without Sissy there to keep him company, he'd opened the driver's side door of his truck and turned on the radio, selecting the only local station which interrupted the country music with important announcements, weather warnings, news, or to tell anyone listening that someone in town needed help. Today, the main news topic was the break-in and robbery that had occurred the night before at the veterinary clinic.
No suspects yet. Ben was glad to hear that. No apparent motive.
Another bit of good news. Everyone should be on the lookout for a gray kitten missing both front feet. Ben was not glad to hear that. Until the furor died down, Patches would have to stay in Sissy's apartment. That sucked.
Oh, my stars!
At the sound of Sissy's voice above him, Ben jumped with a start. He turned to see her leaning out an opened living room window. Even at a distance, she looked so beautiful that she nearly took his breath away.
Oh, Ben! It's going to be the greatest kitten run ever!
I love it. Patches is going to love it, too. You're absolutely amazing. She was the amazing one. Her top, the color of mulberry wine, clung to her figure. Instead of tousling her dark hair every which way, she'd tucked it behind her ears and somehow spiked her bangs. And he was pretty sure she'd put on makeup, because her lips looked nearly as rosy as her top.
Is it kitten watching time?
It is, and I even made food. My version of a Super Bowl party. Ben pulled off his leather gloves.
I'll be right up.
Minutes later, Ben stood on the landing with Finn. When Sissy answered his knock, she cast a worried glance at his dog.
He's good with cats. They're everywhere at my place.
I need to visit there again. After I close up here, of course. I'd love to have dinner there, as you once suggested, and then tour your chicken facilities. Ben winked at her.
Definitely dinner. For once, you won't have to eat your own cooking.
That sounds nice. She closed the door behind him, her attention on Finnegan, who noticed the kitten and bounded toward it. Are you sure?
I'm positive. It'll be fine.
Finn surprised even Ben. It was as if the dog sensed Patches had been hurt. The pup got on his belly and inched toward the kitten. Then they touched noses. Finnegan saw the toy mouse and went to grab it. Patches took a flying leap and covered the stuffed felt with his body. "He's saying it's his," Sissy said. "I told you how much he loves it." Wonderful smells drifted to Ben's nostrils.
"Did you make pizza?"
he asked, even though the question he really wanted to ask was what kind of perfume she was wearing. It wasn't lavender.
"Man, now my stomach's growling."
And his blood pressure was rising. The mulberry sweater skimmed her breasts and clung to her torso until the ribbed hem flared over her hips.
"That's a pretty sweater."
Her cheeks went pink, and she plucked at the scoop neckline with nervous fingers. Ben had never in his life wanted to kiss a woman so badly. He'd dated plenty of gals whose clothing left little to the imagination. Yet Sissy, in her shy attempt to look pretty, was sexier than all of them put together. "Thank you." Ben wished he could dress her, starting with undies and bras from Victoria's Secret, with her modeling everything for his appreciation. Not that she'd ever agree to that, but he could dream. "Grab a seat. I'll bring the food." Ben sat on the middle sofa cushion, hoping that Sissy would sit beside him because the coffee table would probably be where she laid out the food. A guy could scheme as well as dream. Sissy set a giant-sized pizza on the coffee table. "It's a meat lover's. I slapped it together during the lunch hour and slipped it into the oven up here afterward." Ben's stomach was gnawing at his backbone, but he had eyes only for the neckline of her sweater and the scant 2 inches of cleavage it revealed. It provided a breast lover's view, and he was far more interested in that than the food. As she straightened, she caught him looking. Her eyes went laser beam blue, and for a second, he thought she was pissed. Only then he saw her blush, a telltale sign that it wasn't anger that had her eyes sparkling. She circled the table to sit beside him, keeping a precise 6 inches between their hips. Ben bit back a grin. A half foot wasn't much distance for a man to cover. He leaned forward to grab one of the plates and a slice of pizza. As he did, his arm brushed against hers. "Napkins!" She leapt to her feet. "I forgot."
"Paper towels are fine," he told her.
She returned with 2 store-bought paper napkins with flowers at the corner. Ben figured his would be soiled after he wiped one hand. They finally got settled against the cushions and ate as they watched Finn and Patches play. Finnegan continued to be gentle. Occasionally he would steal the mouse, Patches would launch an attack to get it back, and then the game would start all over again. Ben laughed. Sissy giggled. He was surprised at how much fun it was. He'd dropped a lot of money on dates in his day, and he'd never enjoyed one as much as this. Of course, it wasn't so much the visual entertainment as it was being intoxicated by the essence of the woman beside him. He told her that he wouldn't kiss her until she asked him to, and he regretted it now. Dumb mistake. When he saw Sissy glancing at her watch, he realized that the dinner hour was approaching.
"Did you notice that your buzzer never went off?" he asked. "Normally you have people drop in during the afternoon."
"I put up the close sign. Blackie already came in for his coffee and muffin. Now that I have Patches, I've decided I need to take breaks in the afternoon to spend time with him."
"And maybe do something outrageous, like rest for a while or go somewhere fun with me?"
Her smile made her whole face glow. "I'd love that. Where would we go?"
"A late lunch and a matinee would be fun. And there's a great park outside of town with a covered pavilion with picnic tables. We could have a snow day and eat while it snows all around us. If you hired some help, maybe we could do something really crazy, like go out at night, maybe for a nice dinner and dancing.
I don't know how to dance, but maybe I can learn. And I do need to hire help. It's getting to be too much for one person.
It's been too much for one person ever since you opened the cafe.
I know, but I'm saving, remember? The longer I can tough it out, the quicker I can afford to turn this place into a dream cafe.
She picked up the dishes. Ben was surprised to see that all the pizza was gone. He couldn't remember eating that much, let alone how it had tasted.
I'm getting there, though, she continued. With money, I mean. It's time to hire help, even if it slows me down.
Ben followed her into the kitchen to rinse the dishes and stash them in her dishwasher. As they worked together, she gave him a questioning look.
I'd love it if you'd stay long enough to come in for dinner this evening. Afterward, maybe you could help me clean up and do prep so we can actually go out. Seeing a movie would be huge for me.
Ben searched her dainty features, trying to read her and failing.
It's a date. I'll see what's playing at the theater.
He kissed her on the forehead, wishing as he did that he could trail his lips over every inch of her skin. Then he slapped his thigh to summon his dog, straightened his hat, and walked to the door.
What's on the menu tonight?
Beef bourguignon, minced pork sliders, Italian sausage lasagna, and...
Stop, he cut in. I was sold when you said beef bourguignon. Save me 2 servings.
2 servings, on the house. It's my way of repaying you for all your labor today. As Ben strode down the stairs, he wished she would reward him with a long, deep kiss, and to hell with the beef bourguignon. But beggars couldn't be choosers.
Chapter 14. Sissy couldn't believe how packed the cauldron was for dinner. It was standing room only again. Glancing around as she rushed between the kitchen and the tables, she juggled ideas along with dishes. When she remodeled, she'd need to add benches at each side of the door so people could sit to wait for a table. As she shoved potatoes into the oven to bake and snatched 2 steaks off the grill to deliver to a couple celebrating an engagement, she tried to think what it was that had started to draw so many people in. She had experienced a few sparse months when she first reopened the cafe, but after she learned not to scorch all the food, business picked up fast. Never quite to this degree, though. During a brief respite, Sissy gazed out the pass-through window, trying to determine what she was doing differently. Nothing, so far as she could tell. It was as if the cauldron had become a community gathering place, where everyone wanted to eat because they knew good food and great company awaited them there. Raised in Mystic Creek, Ben knew nearly everyone, and he enhanced the feeling of camaraderie. He moved from table to table, sometimes even taking a seat. He emanated sincerity and warmth. He made people laugh or grow serious over a topic of conversation. After he moved on, those individuals turned to chat with people who sat nearby. Sissy heard a timer buzz and raced back into the kitchen to take 3 racks of hot lasagna from the main oven. It smelled wonderful, so she knew that much of her newfound success was due to her cooking. But the rest of it was because the cafe had become an informal gathering place. While cleaning the service side of the front counter, Sissy chatted sporadically with Blackie as she worked. She tensed when he asked,
"Did you hear about the break-in at the vet clinic last night?"
Sissy hadn't heard about it. She'd committed the crime. So she wasn't really lying when she replied, "No, I haven't heard about that from anyone."
"Well, someone got in. Jack forgot to set the security system and says he may have left the back door unlocked. The cops are saying that the perpetrator could have used a credit card to jimmy the lock. What's really weird is... the only thing stolen was a kitten that had its front feet amputated.
Who'd steal a kitten?
Hell, you can get one for a few bucks at the no-kill shelter, and it'd have all 4 feet.
Ma Thomas, who owned a perfume and soap shop on East Main, sat 1 stool over from Blackie.
She had more silver in her short hair now than natural blonde. Her smile always made Sissy feel warm.
Well, I heard the real story. I can't say who told me, but the owners of that kitten decided to have it put down just because it lost its front feet. Jack tried to tell them the kitten would adjust and could live a long and happy life, but they're new in town, last name Miller, wouldn't listen.
Blackie sobered.
They were just bent on killing it, no matter what?
Ma nodded.
Somebody even offered to adopt it and give it a wonderful home, and they still wouldn't let it live.
Huh.
Blackie polished off his chocolate cake with an enormous last bite. Cheek bulging, he said.
So it wasn't really a theft. Somebody rescued the kitten.
That's what I was told, Ma replied.
And I have it on good authority. The way I see it, the woman who stole that kitten deserves a medal. She winked at Sissy.
I'd collect money to have one made for her if it wouldn't get her in trouble.
Sissy's stomach dropped. She shot a frantic look in Ben's direction, but he was busy chatting with Christopher. At the edge of Sissy's mind, she was startled to see that the old man had come in so late, undoubtedly to enjoy socializing. But mostly all she could think was, people know. Sissy felt a little dizzy as the realization sank home. Gossip traveled fast in Mystic Creek. If Ma Thomas knew who'd taken the kitten, it wouldn't be long before everyone in town did.
In trouble?
Blackie echoed Ma and slapped his palm on the bar.
If our county sheriff objects to a kitten rescue and some woman does get in trouble, I say we organize a protest. We'll march to the sheriff's department and make our voices heard.
He swiveled on his bar stool.
Ben, he roared, come here.
Sissy, heading to Christopher's booth to deliver his order, met Ben halfway across the room.
I'm screwed, she whispered as they passed each other.
The volume in the restaurant dropped. People watched Ben. He grinned broadly at Blackie.
You look fit to be tied. Did somebody eat all Sissy's chocolate cake?
Blackie slapped his hand on the counter again.
Hell no, she always saves me a piece. You heard about that kitten that got stolen from the vet clinic last night?
Sissy had just returned to the counter. Judging by Ben's expression, he felt the same way Sissy had when she was asked that question.
I heard something about it today on the radio.
He flicked a questioning look at Sissy.
What's up? Did they figure out who did it?
What's up? I'll tell you what's up, Ma interjected. Our sheriff dusted the whole joint for fingerprints and is hot on the trail of whoever stole that kitten.
What a waste of our tax dollars, Blackie complained. All over a kitten the owners decided to have put down because its front feet were amputated. So some woman decided to rescue the kitten and broke into the clinic to steal it. Now, ain't that the crime of our new century? Heinous! Punishable by God only knows how much jail time. Lots more important than murders and stuff.
Ben lifted an eyebrow.
I think the last homicide here was about 75 years ago.
Blackie snorted.
It's still foolishness if you ask me. Does your brother Barney know about this?
Ben frowned.
I don't really know, Blackie. We haven't spoken today. Well, I'll be the first to tell him I hope he's not involved in that stupid investigation. Trying to locate and arrest a kitten rescuer is a waste of everybody's time and tax dollars.
It seemed to Sissy that her diners would never leave, but a few minutes before 9 o'clock, people paid their tabs, collected their coats, and began walking out. When everyone but Ben was gone, Sissy locked the front door and turned her sign to read closed.
There went going to see a movie, she cried as she turned to face him.
I couldn't focus on the screen. We are so screwed. Who could have known it was me? What if I go to jail?
Ben closed the distance between them and drew her into his arms. Sissy had been held tightly by men, but never had the sensation made her feel safe.
Sweetheart, you won't go to jail. If anyone gets arrested, it'll be me, the idiot who did it.
Sissy pressed closer to him, needing to feel his strength. You aren't an idiot. You're wonderful. And it was my idea, not yours. She glanced up. Where's Finn?
I sneaked him upstairs to your apartment so he could hang out with Patches.
I hope nobody saw him pass through the cafe.
I don't think so, but note to self. When you remodel, we need to create a walled-off area at the bottom of the stairs, so you don't have to worry about people seeing Patches if he comes downstairs to go outside.
Just then, a loud knock came at the front door. Sissy hadn't yet turned off the street-side lighting or dimmed the interior ceiling fixtures. Ben dropped his arms from around her. Sissy sprang away from him. They both turned to see who was standing outside the glass door.
Well, shit, Ben said. It's Barney.
Sissy knew Ben's brother. The deputy didn't come into the cauldron as often since he'd gotten married and started a family, but he still dropped in occasionally. You know why he's here, she said, her voice shaking. She pictured herself getting cuffed and stuffed. Oh, God, Ben, what should I do?
Well, Ben said, I think you should start by opening the door.
Sissy hurried over to do just that, only her voice crackled as if it came from a radio with airwave static. Hi, Barney. Well, what a surprise. Barney stepped inside and closed the door.
Hi, Sissy.
He removed his dark brown Stetson and inclined his head at his brother.
Ben?
Hey, Barney, Ben replied. What brings you in? The coffee's still fresh, and Sissy makes fabulous chocolate cake.
Barney, dressed in uniform, strode to the counter, found a clean spot to place his hat, and said,
I'm not here to eat, and you know it.
He turned to look at his brother.
What the hell were you thinking? Breaking and entering is a Class C felony, burglary in the second degree, potentially punishable by up to $125,000 in fines and 5 years in prison.
Sissy grabbed hold of the bar to steady herself. Ben hadn't stolen the kitten for himself. She couldn't allow him to take the blame.
It was me, not Ben. I did it.
Barney, whose eyes were the same gold-flecked hazel as Ben's, gave her a long look.
I know you were probably with him.
Ben folded his arms and shifted his weight to one foot, looking far too relaxed for a man who was about to be arrested.
Come on, bro. Get on with it and stop with the lecture. If you were here to throw me in the slammer, you'd be hanging your head and apologizing.
Barney's badge flashed on his khaki shirt as he lifted his hands, palms up.
The phones are ringing off the hook at the department. Half the populace of Mystic Creek is up in arms about Sissy getting into trouble for rescuing a damned kitten.
Anger surged through Sissy.
Patches is not a damned kitten. He's a sweet, darling kitten who deserves to have a life. And how on earth did anyone find out it was me that entered the clinic to rescue him?
A clinic receptionist blabbed,
Barney replied.
She'd gone back to use the ladies' room and overheard you and Jack talking. She told only one person and in strictest confidence, but her friend blabbed to someone and so it went.
And in Mystic Creek, word travels faster than the speed of light,
Ben finished for him. Barney nodded.
Now Jack's in trouble, you guys are in trouble, and Sheriff Adams is in a jam as well. The law is the law. He should arrest both of you and cite Jack Palmer for overstepping his bounds as a vet. But the people in this town, the voters who'll re-elect Adams as sheriff, don't feel that a crime has been committed, and they aren't going to vote for any jackass, including me, who throws two heroic kitten rescuers into jail and files charges against Jack for aiding and abetting.
Ben spread his feet.
I'm sorry for causing a political shitstorm. I just couldn't let the owners kill the kitten for no good reason.
Barney thumped his chest.
I'm the one who brought most of the stray animals home when we were kids, not you. When did you suddenly become the softy?
Ben huffed.
I rescued just as many critters as you did. You off duty?
Barney nodded. Ben glanced at Sissy.
Can you open a bottle of wine, Sissy? My treat.
Barney groaned.
I'm not having a drink with you. No matter what people in town think, you committed a crime.
Ben strode over and swung a leg over a bar stool. Sissy circled the counter. You want mulberry? She asked. I picked up a few bottles. My customers love it.
Sure, Ben agreed. Maybe some magic will rub off on Barney and make him forget his tough cop image.
Barney took a stool beside his brother.
I don't have a tough cop image. And having a glass of wine will not negate the fact that you've caused a lot of serious trouble for me, my boss, and the only vet we've got in town.
Sissy poured 3 glasses of wine, passed 2 to the men, and kept 1 for herself. She wasn't quite so nervous now, but she was still on edge. She glanced at her watch. Patches and Finn had been alone in her flat for hours. She excused herself and ran upstairs to check on her furry friends. Finn needed to go outside and pee. Patches rubbed against her ankles, begging to be picked up. Well, she told the animals, in for a penny, in for a pound. Let's all go downstairs. As Sissy descended the stairs with Patches in her arms and Finn taking 2 steps at a time in front of her, she wondered what Barney might say. Probably something about conforming to the health codes. The law is the law. But when Barney glanced toward the stairs and saw them, he said,
Aw, come on. Have a heart, Sissy. Don't show me that kitten. Show him the kitten, Ben said. He'll melt into his boots.
Sissy led Finn through the storage area and let him outside for a whiz festival. When the pup returned, she made her way back to her place behind the counter where her mulberry wine awaited her. Barney stared hard at Patches, snuggled in the crook of Sissy's arm. She saw his gaze drop to the kitten's pink stubs.
Son of a bitch.
He took a gulp of wine.
Can the poor thing even walk?
Ben answered.
He can not only walk, he can romp and play with Finn. It's really something to see. So why did his owners insist on putting him down?
Ben tasted his wine.
I'm sure they felt they were doing the right thing, but in truth, they weren't. Jack tried to tell them the kitten would adjust, but they firmly believed they were making the kinder choice for him.
Barney sighed.
It would have been sad if Jack had euthanized him.
He angled a glare at Ben.
That isn't to say you did the right thing. You committed a B&E. You catnapped that kitten.
Ben shrugged.
Guilty as charged. And if you arrest me, no hard feelings. Do the crime, do the time.
He met his brother's gaze.
But just between you and me and a fence post? If you'd known about this kitten, wouldn't you have been tempted to swipe him to save his life?
Barney shot him a glare over the rim of his wine glass.
Unfair question.
I'll take that as an affirmative. Barney tipped his head back and flexed his shoulders.
You can take it however you want, but I would have figured out how to do it legally. You could have called an animal rights group.
We didn't have time. It's a great idea, but we had only a matter of hours. Finishing his wine with 3 gulps, Barney swung off the bar stool and went to collect his hat.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm glad you saved him. I just don't approve of how you went about it.
So, what's going to happen? Ben asked. Are Sissy and I going to be arrested?
Sheriff Adams went to see the owners of the kitten this evening. I wasn't there to hear what he said, but I think he warned them that they need to keep their heads down and their mouths shut about the kitten if they hope to have any friends in town.
Jack called the department and told Adams that he deliberately left the clinic door unlocked for you. So technically you entered the clinic by his invitation.
I never expected Jack to take the heat for this,
Ben mused aloud.
The only way he'll get in trouble is if the kitten's owners file a complaint against him. And I don't think they'll do that, not unless they want to be run out of town on a rail. People are riled up. Last I heard, Blackie and Ma Thomas were planning a protest march, and they got so many volunteers that they had to hold their first meeting at Dizzy's Round Table. Half the town could gather there.
Ben chuckled.
And of course you knew all this when you came in here to chew my ass.
Barney grinned.
Somebody's got to keep you in line.
I still can't believe you sneaked into that building and stole a cat.
He drew open the door, paused, and glanced over his shoulder.
Wish I could have been there, but future sheriffs miss out on all the fun stuff. Next time, be a hell of a lot more careful. You left one print. We didn't run it for a match, but it was too large to be Sissy's.
People come and go in the back of that clinic all the time. How can you possibly figure the fingerprint is mine?
Well now, Barney said, tapping his temple. There were no fingerprints on the kitten's cage, none on the door handles or on the doors themselves. So someone wiped all those surfaces down. But he missed that one telltale print.
Shit,
Ben said. Then his eyes narrowed on his brother.
Wait a minute. Maybe I missed one print, but that doesn't mean I missed one of my own. It could be Jack's or a kennel keeper's.
Barney grinned.
Had you going for a minute, though, didn't I? It works on most perps, and I'll tell you why. They're dumb as buckets of rocks.
Are you implying that I'm dumb?
Ben asked, but his brother had already walked out. Sissy and Ben worked together in the kitchen to clean up and then